How are you? Bev, come here. I have a question to ask you. Bev, you look so cute. I love your glasses.
Why, thank you.
They're blue on the side.
Ooh. Are you open to a polyamorous relationship?
I personally am not open to polyamory. However, I'm not opposed to other people being open to polyamory. Okay. However, I did say to Michael, your whole tone and all of your questions, you sounded way too excited about
this. He was eager.
Like, you were way too eager.
That is rude.
Yeah. He is eager, and he was, like, totally, like, ready to sign up. It was like an Amway phone call.
Yeah.
Actually, if you think about polyamory, it is kind of like a multi-pyramid scheme.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Church for Atheists. I am Michael and I'm here with
Umar. So lobby talk, I gotta tell you, I'm feeling amazing. Can you hear it in my voice?
I can hear it in your voice.
It's like I'm living on Broadway.
No, stop singing. Why are you feeling so peppy? You're like doing a lot.
Because we have a new hope and a future for our country, that's why.
This is very true. I thought that we weren't political.
We are not. I'm just being honest.
I mean, it is very fair. So yeah, I mean, definitely in the past week, it's been interesting at the very least. And I feel like we are potentially having a little bit of hope.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can tell your cheeks, you're like wearing extra rouge. Like, it looks good.
I am not wearing any rouge, I'll have you know. Though, I mean, I'm not one that's against, you know, makeup for men. But currently, this is just my natural look. And for those of you who can't see, it's very true.
Orange glow on you. It's almost as if he's, like, rubbing off on you.
What? If who's rubbing off on me? That doesn't sound good. Nobody's rubbing off on me.
Speaking of rubbing...
And this glow is called melanin.
Oh, well, speaking of rubbing off, we should tell our listeners that this is our special sex episode.
Guys, I must give you a warning that Kumar is going to be insufferable this entire episode. He's been looking forward to this episode from the beginning of time.
Let's just say every season we'll have a sex episode. So yes. Yeah, I feel like, you know, I'm super pumped about the future of our nation. And you know what I'm more excited about? Can I just be really, like, crude?
You're always crude. I'm afraid that, you know, we have children that listen to this podcast.
That is true. How old are they?
I mean, they're teenagers. Who knows? But it's on the parents. If the parents let them listen to the podcast without any kind of screening, it's on them.
Exactly. You're warned parents.
Exactly. Consider this your warning.
No, I'm just super pumped. I'm excited that the vote went our way, and I'm wanting to give God a praise offering. And here comes cue praise music.
You're giving... So guys, right now Kumar is doing like some very, very lame praise hands. So yeah, it is... So it's weird. I'm actually maybe having... People's been asking me how I've been feeling. And I guess there's a slight sense of relief. But still, you know, the sense of like despair at the fact that so many people in America still seem to think that, you know, the alternative was a good choice.
Yeah, it kind of makes me realize that half of my church members...
Half? No, I think that in the church, it's disproportionate the other way. It is not... The church does not represent the country. So I would say
really?
A solid,
like,
75%.
Okay, I will say that, you know, we do live in a blue state, but I'm just saying if 50% of the American public voted red, I am now looking at 50% of my white friends with a stink eye.
I mean, and not just a stink eye. I'm going to need receipts. I'm going to need you to, like, because I feel a lot of them, especially the women, I feel like they're lying. I don't trust the ones that say they voted the right way because the numbers went up, especially among white women. Yes, the percentage of white women went up.
So we need to have a ministry to Karens and talk to them about respect, love, and independent thinking.
And racism.
Yes, and maybe we should force them to all watch The Handmaid's Tale to see what their future can look like.
What? I'm not sure The Handmaid's Tale is what I had in mind. Well, I was thinking more something along the lines of Roots or, you know.
Hey, look, the service is starting right now. Let's get inside the church service.
Ooh, it's time to get inside. Okay, so this episode, I actually am responsible for the opening prayer. Well, actually, I have the opening prayer and the opening song. How did that happen?
Well, you're just very greedy.
It's just, that's me, greedy. So anyway, check this out. So the opening prayer for this episode actually is by an anonymous writer. And it says, intimacy is something to be cherished, not something to be afraid of.
I like that.
How do you feel about that, Kumar?
Actually, I really like that. That's really kind of, you know, kind of the theme of a little bit what we're going to be talking about on our sex episode, about the fact that sex, at least historically, has been something that has been shunned and told you that you've been told your whole life you should never do. It's dirty and nasty. And then you get married and then they're like, now have sex and have kids.
Exactly.
So the fact that you know, the opening prayer is basically saying that intimacy is something you should really
cherish
and long for.
But I have to say also that intimacy does not equal sex. So,
yeah, that's true. You know,
yeah, I really liked it too. It touched me. I mean, I do think, when I think about intimacy, I definitely think of showing the person that you love your true self. And it's not just necessarily in marital relationships. I feel that way in friendships. I think there's just something sacred to me about, you know, being completely open with a friend or with your family or, you know, your lover, whomever, that I think creates intimacy. So it's the vulnerability of it.
For sure. You sound very polyamorous when you say that.
Good Lord. What do you think about intimacy? Do you feel like intimacy goes beyond marriage?
Yeah, I think you can have intimate relationships that aren't sexual, and that, you know, all friendships and close relationships should have some level of intimacy. And I think, you know, the best way to describe intimacy is a giving of yourself in some form, right? So that you're not harnessing it or keeping it, but that's a gift to others. It could be the joy of laughter or humor. It could be, you know, whatever it is, you're giving away something of yourself that makes that connection more intimate.
Are we intimate?
I think we are intimate. In fact,
very intimate.
In fact, in the future, I'm going to start introducing to you as my intimate partner.
I love it. Let's do it.
just to get people's, just to get the saints riled up.
Yeah, the saints are always riled up, though. It doesn't take much to get them riled up.
They are.
What they need to be riled up about, though, is all of the horrific things going on in the world and how broken society seems to be, largely, quite frankly, at their hands. But that's for a different episode.
Not really. They'd rather just judge.
Yeah. Well, yeah, judging is easy and fun. Easy. I mean, I like to judge. So, but nonetheless, we need to move on in the service. We can't just be hanging around here.
Let's stand up. Let's stand for the
opening
song.
Okay, it's time for our opening song. So the opening song this week actually comes from an artist. I don't know if you know him. His name is Sebastian Cole. And I actually, it's funny because we were talking about, you know, the election and the election results earlier. And this week, sometime in the last week or so, I was just shuffling through my playlist. And it popped on because it's a song that I, you know, used to love, and then I've been listening to it a lot this week. It's called Love Is On The Way, and it's by Sebastian Cole, so let's take a quick listen. I feel a change is coming on, and if you're ready, follow me, and we'll be the change we want to see. Love, we're on the way. Standing around.
like this song. This is really, really nice. It has a nice groove. It has good meaning behind it. But when did this song come out, and why don't I know about this young, new Brian McKnight?
He is a bit Brian McKnight-ish. I don't know. It's been a few years. I want to say it's somewhere in the vicinity of 2016, but I could be wrong. That's at least when he came on my radar, randomly recommended by a playlist. And then I fell in love with it. And he has a couple other songs that are really good.
So why did this song
they really touched me.
Why did this song connect to you?
Well, it's hopeful. Mm-hmm. So it kind of talks about the reality of, you know, kind of like what we've been talking about this episode, how, you know, people seem to be sometimes ignoring all of the bad, evil things that are going on around us that, you know, they can help to solve, and it reminds us that we should love each other and, you know, try to get along. And I think that's always a good message, and we sometimes forget it. And when you hear it in musical form, I mean, it's nothing that's rocket science, right? It's not revolutionary. But when you hear it in musical form, there's something about it that kind of lifts your spirit. And there's just a hopeful tone that he has. So yeah, it got me feeling peppy all week.
Yeah, I thought it had a good tone, and I liked the groove behind it. It was good. It's a good hook.
Yes.
Do I sound young saying that?
Yes, it slaps.
Well, I haven't heard of that one, but I like that
Oh,
one.
God.
I'm going to use that.
Go ask the kids.
I'm going to use that one tonight with the kids. I'll be like, oh, it slaps.
They're going to hate me.
Confession.
Oh, confession time. My confession is that I don't have a confession?
Well, I want to just share a little disclaimer to our listener, and that is, can you please email us at churchforatheist@gmail.com and tell Michael what a loser all of his confessions are? Like, the pastor shouldn't have worse confessions than the atheist. Come on.
I agree, but why is that the case? Maybe we should dig into that a little.
we should. And I think a lot of it is you're repressing and not really sharing the dark inner side of Michael.
Well, how about this? What do you think I should confess this week?
I think you should confess. I can give you several confessions.
Okay, go for it.
How about the last episode you were wearing makeup when you were trying to conceal a pimple, and you're on national podcast, and no one can see your beautiful dark face, and you're so vain that you colored your face in.
So first of all, I don't feel like that's something worthy of a confession, but fine, I will take it. So what Kumar is referring to is during our last recording, and we're recording, so you guys don't see us, but we actually record via Zoom, and so we see each other. And he's referring to the fact that I took the time, which I always do, if I have a little zit or something, which I had one right on the tip of my nose, I have a makeup product for men called Stix. So basically, it's literally like a concealer that's like a pen, kind of like a crayon. You kind of turn it and it comes up a little bit, and it's, you know, the color of my skin. And I just do a little tap tap on the tip of my nose, and the ugly red zit went away. Or it didn't go away, but it was hidden. Because had I come on to record the podcast and Kumar saw the zit on my nose, he would have absolutely mentioned it. And so the fact that he's judging me for wearing makeup is, you know, pretty Kumar of him. So fine. Are you happy? That's my confession.
Yes, very Christian. I'm very judgy. Speaking of judgy, that's my confession.
Who did you judge?
So have you been watching or reading all this like crazy drama of the Hillsong pastor from New York that got fired?
I heard about it. I've been loosely following. Did he get fired or did he resign?
Oh, he got fired, baby. And he got fired. His name's Carl Lenz. He, like, as in pastor world, he is like almost...
Your idol?
Yes. He is like, he was a pastor to Justin Bieber. He's been a pastor to like every...
Is that what you aspire to be?
Yes. Justin, if you're listening.
Kylie Jenner's pastor.
He was. He was Kylie Jenner's pastor. And... So yeah, this Pastor Lenz, he got in trouble. They just said moral failure. And then he went on his Instagram and said he cheated on his wife. And, you know, I've probably had more than two dozen, this is sad, over two dozen pastors, friends of mine, who have gotten fired because of moral failures.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a thing.
Yet so, you're still here.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So yeah, it's nuts. So, but here's the crazy thing. Like The Guardian, do you know what The Guardian newspaper is?
Yeah.
It's like the British TMZ.
Yes.
They got the girl that had the affair with him to tell all. She even read text messages from him, pictures, boy.
I did not hear this.
Yes, yes, yes. And so here's my confession. Here's my confession. Like, I want to lift up Pastor Carl Lenz and pray for recovery for his marriage and his relationship with God and his family.
But
I'm loving, I am loving the drama. Like,
why are you like this?
Like, Google has figured out, like, my interest, and they're just, like, popping up every detail. Or a detail of this pastor. It's horrible.
Sure. Also, you shouldn't be judgy. That's the main part. Because I wouldn't care if you're having an affair. Because who knows? Maybe they had an open relationship. Look at, what's his face? From Liberty University.
Yeah, my boy.
I mean, he was a cuck.
Yeah, yeah. My boy got caught. But yeah, so I guess what I'm saying is I'm not judging. So that's not what my confession is. My confession is that I am really, really enjoying the...
Yes,
lavish,
the salacious
drama. Lord, forgive me.
I mean, don't make the sign of the cross. That's not going to help you. That is really, yeah. I did see that happening, and I actually thought that the church handled it really well. I feel like their statement about, you know, wishing him well and, you know, wishing that he would, you know, become whole again in the future with his wife and with God was, I think, very tasteful.
Very much so. And I think that's really a great model for how, you know, churches in the future need to be able to help their pastors reconcile and give them a second chance in life.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Well, cool. That ends our confession time, guys. And so after confession comes our sermon. Kumar, I don't think he's ever been as excited for a sermon as he's been for this one. You want to tell us a little bit about what we're going to hear?
So yeah, I'm really super pumped. We had a conversation with an old friend of mine who was a former pastor, and he is now in a polyamorous relationship, which I had to look up what that word means. And I was like, OMG, like every man's dream. So
is it?
Well, I wouldn't want to be married to several women because I wouldn't want to incur the cost, but having like lots of girlfriends.
Guys, please forgive him. Get back to the point. We're really excited about this episode's sermon. What's the name of the person that we interviewed, Kumar?
Yeah, we interviewed John Sickler, and here is a bit of our conversation.
But let's go back a little bit. So I want to know more about how you made the jump. Like, when was it that you started kind of thinking more about sexual relationships and the different types of sexual relationships that you were open to?
Yeah. Well, let me answer something really briefly right before that, which is Kumar sort of laughed saying that I was either going to become some sort of, you know, Christian community leader or a porn star. I guess maybe some people perceived me that way. I did have a very, very high sex drive as an adolescent, probably, you know, more so than most. But I also very sincerely believed that intercourse was wrong and that I wanted to save it for marriage. And, you know, there were a number of occasions that was less than 10 or so where I did have sex. But most of the time, I just tried to regulate my really high sex drive without, you know, having intercourse with people. We call it veggie sex, of like, I was going to have oral sex, but
veggie not, sex.
Yeah. You know, I wanted, so first of all, as background, I had a very high sex drive that I had a lot of difficulty regulating, which then, you know, in more direct answer to your question, about the time that I divorced, I was developing at first sort of intellectual curiosity about polyamory and open relationships. I had a couple of clients who were in polyamorous relationships that were seeing me because they found me to be a good therapist for understanding that, even if I wasn't one myself. And then when I divorced and started experimenting with kind of open relationships as I was dating around, I thought, well, I guess in some ways this does fit. And I was learning things that didn't fit. And then about a year and a half or 2 years after divorcing, I met Gabriella, and that was the first time. I mean, at that point, her and I just fell head over heels in love with each other. And she was very well known as sort of the queen of polyamory. You know, a number of, I think she was probably involved with 7 or 8, you know, more than that, maybe lovers at the time, and had a primary partner and was involved in a polycule, they call it, of, you know, 5 or 6 people that all, you know, were sexual and close together.
And do all those people know each other?
Yeah. They all knew each other. They all knew what was going on. They would, you know, go on vacations together. And you know, have different configurations of, I guess you could call it group sex together, if you've got more than two. So
hang on, I just got to fan the flame that's coming near me.
Oh, for crying out loud. You're ridiculous.
I'm just telling my guardian angel, this is a podcast. I am not getting involved.
You're just upset that you didn't have a chance with John back in high school.
This is for educational purposes only. Okay, so
go ahead, John. Ignore him.
So when we fell in love, you know, we're a bit different in personality, and we had very different lifestyles. She grew up as a part of a hippie family, was, you know, getting LSD from when she was, you know, a child, and living all over Europe in a van, and had almost exactly the opposite background that I had, growing up in a cul-de-sac in Dayton, Ohio. You know, my parents have had the same phone number since I was 3 months old, I believe, and they still have that same phone number.
Wow.
Everything, when we fell in love, everything, you know, sort of collided and things started shifting in our life. And she started shedding lovers left and right. And at the same time, you know, her and I started having relationships with other people and experiences with other people too. So I guess, to be crude, she was becoming a lot less slutty and I was becoming a lot more slutty.
Okay.
So, you know, at that point it was like, okay, these thoughts and ideas that I had hypothetically in my mind were actually starting to be the way I was living. And, you know, her and I's journey has been navigating that together, how it works with her, how it works for me.
So does she still have, I think I've read that she still has at least one other partner that she's involved with on occasion.
Yeah, her primary at the time she met me, you know, their relationship has become a lot smaller since then. And as my relationship became a lot bigger, we actually had a really interesting thing in our wedding where, instead of, you know, the traditional like parents giving you away, her former primary partner essentially gave her away to me and gave us a blessing while we gave him, sort of acknowledged him and his new primary partner. So that was the sort of tearful acknowledgement of how our lives shifted. And I have a great deal of gratitude to him for making space for me. I mean, that was really challenging for all of us. And the fact that that happened without much in the way of drama, is really impressive to me.
And do you have another partner as well?
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah, both Gabrielle and I like to date people together mostly. That's a lot more enjoyable for us than really going off and having other independent partners.
So one person or a couple that you will date? Sorry, the only thing that I know about this world is anything that I listen from Dan Savage, and that's just
crying out loud.
45 minutes a week.
Meanwhile, I feel like I'm right here with you, John. I'm understanding what you're saying. Kumar needs a bit of the remedial session.
Okay.
I'm taking notes.
It's both, Kumar. It's either or, it depends. I mean, okay. I would say right now, you know, we've been dating a couple for two and a half years, maybe. We've dated a guy together. Gabriella's a whole lot more bisexual or pansexual. You know, on the Kinsey scale, she's closer to the middle, whereas I'm maybe halfway to the middle. So I tend not to fall in love with men or feel terribly romantic. And you know, there's sexual experiences I've had with men, but they don't feel quite the same as with women. And often we've dated women together, so. She actually is saying now we're probably in the next couple of days going to put together a profile on OkCupid, because she said, you know, I've got a husband and that's absolutely awesome, and I'd still like a wife.
All right, Michael. Oh my gosh. I want to do an hour long debrief with you to be like, what the heck was that? So. Was I just thinking this was nuts, or did you feel like this was just normal and this is where people are in America?
I thought this was perfectly normal. So guys, I mean, what's interesting, and I really, really recommend that you listen to the entire thing. So we're going to release the entire length of the interview with John as a bonus episode. And I encourage you to listen to the whole thing. And when you listen to it, you will definitely hear Kumar sounding completely scandalized the entire time, which is hilarious and also a little unsettling. But I thought it was good.
And I mean, did you feel like this was just some guy who's in his 40s, having his midlife crisis?
No. So I think I come from a space where I absolutely think it's possible to love multiple people at the same time. And I think the idea of polyamory is not at all outlandish to me. I think it's super complicated because you're dealing with, you know, issues of jealousy. And I mean, those are human emotions that don't go away. But I think if you can truly, truly embrace sex positivity, which he talks a lot about in the full interview, if you could fully embrace the idea of that and kind of throw off the sexual repression that we're all saddled with from, you know, growing up in super conservative Christian homes, then I think that it's a good thing.
Yeah. And I will say he was very intentional about making sure he discussed the intimacy level with his wife, you know? So even though he's in polyamorous relationships, he was very clear that he was in an intimate and very strong, faithful relationship. When I use the word faithful, I mean that in a much more global sense, but there's a tremendous amount of trust between the two of them.
But it seems like you had a different initial response than me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was kind of everybody wants to bang as many people as they can, but there's something called restraint, there's something called ethics and morals, you know,
what?
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm old-fashioned.
So hold on. So let's unpack that. So, but what do you think that's stemming from?
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly where it comes from. It comes from the total brainwashing that I've had since I was 3 months old and have been told. But here's an interesting piece, and I haven't read enough about this, but I was thinking, you know, after our interview with John, that most of the Old Testament relationships, i.e. Abraham, you'll be the greatest nation on earth, were in polyamorous relationships.
Of a sort, sure. Right? Maybe Bible versions. Some of them seem a little more abusive than what I would define as polyamorous. Okay. You know.
Yeah. You're right. I'm not sure. Some of them were polyamorous.
Hagar had a choice.
That's right. And some of them were hostage situations.
Yes. Right? But broadly speaking. Setting aside owning of humans and people not having agency to make decisions. Yes.
Lowercase p polyamorous.
Totally polyamorous.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely one for the books. I would love to have John come back and maybe he can be like our sex columnist when people have questions.
Ooh, yeah, people can submit sex questions.
Yeah, so send us your sex questions.
That sounds really bad. Please do not send us your sex questions.
gmail.com.
I think I can handle it. I don't think the Kumar can.
I would love to just read it and judge you.
And that's what he will do, because even right now he's having difficulty processing everything that we just talked to John about, and I don't understand why. But
I will tell you one thing about John, and that is since I've known him, he has had the highest level of integrity and character. And I think that came out in the show as well, like the full interview. Like, you know, he really believes in what he's doing. And what I mean by that is having faithful, intentional community with people.
Absolutely. I mean, the energy that he gives off is really, I think, pure and loving. And yeah, I mean, I could see why he was such a leader, you know, in the church and in school, like when you guys were kids. Like, he definitely gives off that energy. So we hope you guys enjoyed that sermon. And if you're interested in hearing more details, then absolutely you should check out the full episode that we'll post as a bonus episode. And I'm sure you'll find it interesting.
Yeah, and just moving into our offering call, you actually invited John to do the offering call.
Yes, he was saying so many things about, you know, a lot of the organizations that he was a part of and that, you know, worked a lot around sex positivity, that I wanted to give him the opportunity to kind of share some of the organizations and what, if anyone was interested, what they can do to help those organizations. So we had John do the offering this episode, so check it out. I'm thinking we should ask John a question that we kind of ask ourselves every podcast episode. So, you know, our podcast is structured like a church service. And one of the things we do is the offering section. So we talk about different organizations that we you know, want to tell people about in terms of donations. And I feel like you definitely seem like you would be passionate about some organization, whether it's related to sex positivity or, you know, something agricultural. I'm interested to know, like, what do you do in terms of supporting the community, or what can we do?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. We founded a nonprofit organization called Sex Positive World that is has its own 501c3, and those gifts are tax deductible. And that organization is about spreading sex positivity around the world and offering education and, you know, fighting for rights of LGBTQI people and promoting relationship styles and anything that people want to do to have fun together, that's sexual, that organization works to provide.
This was kind of a fun, like, really hot, flashy, horny-esque episode. I'm feeling...
Was it super horny and hot, flashy? Yeah. Those are two different things, actually.
Are they? I mean, I don't know.
Apparently you are just very easily triggered, and it seems like you're still coming down off of a high. I don't know what's wrong with you.
It shows you my repressed Christian background. That's what it is.
Yes, that is exactly what it is. We need to like unpack that in a separate episode. We don't have time enough for that. It was a fun episode. Did it live up to everything that you wanted it to be? You've been looking forward to the sex episode for so long.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I was hoping for some really like dirty stories, but I was too afraid to ask, and I was too afraid to find out really what some of the true stories were.
Guys, do you see what I have to put up with? This is what I have to put up with. Oh, Kumar, it's time for the benediction.
It is time for the benediction. You ready to do it?
We are ready. I think we're ready. Are you doing the benediction? Do the benediction. Yeah.
My benediction is going to come from the Holy Bible. And it's very simple. It says, love others just as God loved you.
Huh. That's a fitting benediction.
I think so. You know?
Yeah.
Another version is, love one another because God loved you first.
There you go. Alrighty. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you guys next time. Don't forget to check out our bonus episode with the full-length interview with John Stickler.
Bye.